भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय क्रीदन्तस्थान् उपाव्रज्य कुमारायादुनन्दना उपसंज्ञा प्रप्रच्छो अभिनीतवत् क्रीदन्तस्थान् उपाव्रज्य कुमारायादुनन्दनः उपसंगृह्य पप्रच्छो अभिनीतवत् क्रीदन्तस्थान् उपाव्रज्य कुमारायादुनन्दना उपसंगृह्य पप्रच्छो अभिनीतवत्
Playing, tan, them, the sages, upaprajya, approaching, kumara,
the young boys,
Yadunandana,
the sons of the Yadu dynasty, Upasangriya,
taking hold of the sage's feet,
Paprachu,
they asked,
Avinita,
not humble,
Vinita Vat,
acting is as if humble.
To that holy place, the young boys of the Yadu dynasty had brought Samba, son of Jambavati, dressed in woman's garb. Playfully approaching the great sages gathered there, the boys grabbed hold of the sages' feet and impudently asked them, with feigned humility, O learned Brahmins, this black-eyed pregnant woman has something to ask you. She is too embarrassed to inquire for herself. She is just about to give birth and is very desirous of having a son. Since all of you are great sages with infallible vision, please tell us whether her child will be a boy or a girl. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has made the following comment. The impudent behavior of the young Yadus toward the sages headed by Narada, who were all Brahmins and devotees of the Lord, was a display of deviation from the path of Lord Krishna. Similarly, although the Prakrita Sahajyas think of themselves as intimate associates of Krishna, the supremely merciful Lord's determination is perfectly correct in working to finish such false devotees. Such imposters actually never accept real service to Krishna. The Yadu Kumara's deception is termed seemingly humble, meaning that in fact they were anything but humble. Therefore, the ridiculing of Vaishnavas by the Lord's family resulted in a great offense against the devotees of the Lord. A similar incident occurred during the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when his own mother offended Sri Advaita Acharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally rectified this offense against a great Vaishnav, and thus the Lord showed his magnanimity. Lord Krishna's pastime of destroying the Yadu dynasty is also a demonstration of his mercy to his devotees. Om Agyandimidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Nididam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuthapatakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathambitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sapadutam
Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Bhakta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyai Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
To that holy place, the young boys of the Yadu dynasty had brought Samba, son of Jambavati, dressed in a woman's garb. Playfully approaching, the great sages gathered there. The boys grabbed hold of the sages' feet and impudently asked them, with feigned humility, O learned Brahmins, this black-eyed pregnant woman has something to ask you. She is too embarrassed to inquire for herself. She is just about to give birth and is very desirous of having a son. Since all of you are great sages with infallible vision, please tell us whether her child will be a boy or a girl. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 1, entitled The Curse Upon the Yadu Dynasty, Texts 13 through 15. The setting of this historical, instructive narration of Srila Sukadev Goswami Vasudev, the father of Krishna, invited a group of the world's greatest sages and rishis, Vaishnavas, to his home to perform sacrificial devotional ceremonies for the well-being of the Yadu dynasty, which they did perfectly. And Vasudev pleased them in every way by his hospitality, by his true devotional attitude. Everything seemed to be so auspicious. At the conclusion of the ceremony, Vasudev, with such humility, honored them, expressed his gratitude. As the great sages, the scribes among them were Vishwamitra Muni, Narada Muni, Asita Kalmba, Durvasa Muni, Bhrigu Muni, Angira Muni, Kashyapa, Vamadev, Atri Muni, Vashishta Muni. They were happily departing. Some of the younger members of the Yadu dynasty, it describes here in today's verse, due to their arrogance, they wanted to playfully minimize the greatness of these sages. Minimizing in the sense that they knew that as far as scripture goes, they were the greatest scholars. Some of these sages' main scriptures were spoken by them. Their austerities, Vishwamitra Muni, were quite unparalleled. Their mystical yogic powers. Narada Muni could go anywhere. Vashishta Muni, through his little cow, could create massive militaries. What to speak of Durvasa Muni? But the Yadus were they were Krishna's children. And they had not only the supreme good fortune of having Krishna living with them as their own father, Jambavati, Rukmini, the goddess of fortune herself was their mother's. But they were also the most powerful dynasty in all of the world. And they were super excellent in all their material affairs also. So we see through the eyes of our particular state of consciousness. What is an accurate vision? Srila Prabhupada taught us the only really accurate vision is when we see through the eyes of the scripture. But even that's confusing, because so many people see different things in the eyes of the scripture. We have seen so many debates, arguments, competition, hate, envy, arrogance, in the name of our seeing through the eyes of scripture. So there's a particular character, there's a particular state of consciousness wherein we can actually see through the eyes of Scripture. It's not simply an academic study. Because ultimately, Krishna reveals the truth according to the sincerity of our intent. Therefore, Mahajano Yena Katasa Panda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared the only possible way of actually understanding the scripture as it is by following in the footsteps of great souls. Little Prahlad was only 5 years old. He never even physically saw his guru, Narada Muni. It's kind of like listening to a tape recording, in the sense that you don't see. He was just hearing in the womb of his mother. He couldn't ask him any questions. But he was so sincere that by the grace of Narada Muni and his little innocent embryo nature, that sound vibration went so deep into his heart, touched his soul, and awakened his love for Krishna. And when he was 5 years old, there's no record that Narada Muni came to particularly give him physical audience. He only had what he heard from him years before. And when little Prahlad offered beautiful prayers to Narasimhadev, or when he instructed his classmates, Komara Acharit Pragyo, it wasn't just what he said. Because his father, Hiranyakashipu, was a great scholar of Vedas from an external perspective. The Srimad Bhagavatam quotes his explanations of the nature of the soul. We're not this body. Some of the stories and philosophical teachings of Hiranyakashipu, if we take them and just speak without giving the audience the context of who's speaking or what the setting is, we would be thinking, this is perfect. This person is really a sage, he's a rishi, you know. He's just speaking succinctly Vaishnava philosophy. But when we understand his character, we understand that we can take gold from a filthy place, as it is said, but we don't want to follow in his footsteps. Because all his knowledge did not culminate in love for Krishna. Rather, all his knowledge and all of his austerities. Try standing on your tips of toes for 1 hour without eating or drinking or sleeping. He did it for so many years. Such a tapasi, such a scholar. And he was the son of Kashyapa Muni. Sometimes in India, people are proud to be in the gotra of Kashyapa Muni. But there's, you know, many, many generations of watering down Kashyapa Muni. But he was directly his son. That means he's the brother of Vamanadev. He's the great-grandfather of Bali Maharaj. He was very exalted in many ways. But because he did not have the proper disposition, his attitude was all wrong. He didn't really understand. Krishna did not give him the fruit of the Vedas, real enlightenment. So when we read the prayers of Prahlad or the teachings of Prahlad, which have endured within the hearts of the greatest of the self-realized souls in all the various sampradayas, it's because of Prahlad Maharaja's natural attitude, respect, humility, devotion.
Tatikshiva Karunaka Surada Sarvadehena Machata Satrava Santa Sarava Sadhu Bhushana. He had these qualities of a sadhu. Prahlad was not a renunciate in the sense that he wore saffron. We don't see pictures of Prahlad with long matted hair. Didn't shave his head. He was a boy, and later he became a grihastha, and then he became a father and a grandfather. But he was a sadhu because he had titiksha. Titiksha means he was forgiving. He could tolerate. He could tolerate the pushings of the senses and the mind. He could tolerate the ego. How did he tolerate the ego? Because he took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. He considered himself eternally the servant of the Lord. The basic root of all material suffering is the false ego, ahankar. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teaching to Sanatana Goswami, he went right to the heart of it at the very beginning with this simple statement, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. We're not the proprietors. We're not the enjoyers. We're not the controllers. We're eternally God's servant. And Krishna Suhrata Sarva Bhutanam. He's everyone's best friend. Daivihesu Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratiya. Mame Vamye Prapadyante Mayame Tatarandite. Material nature. These three modes, they affect everyone in this world. And they are very powerful. Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. It's Krishna's energy. Krishna's direct external energy. The bahiranga shakti of the Supreme Personality of God. More powerful than anything except Krishna. So very difficult to get release from or overcome the effect of the three modes of nature. But when we take shelter of Krishna, Krishna protects us. And Srila Prabhupada explained that this bhakti process is the descending process. Other forms of religion or yoga are often ascending. By the power of our knowledge, by the power of our strength, our renunciation, our charity, we're trying to achieve Krishna, achieve liberation. We can get, to some extent, mystic cities through this process. We could get wealth, elevation to heavenly planets. We could even approach liberation. But actual bhakti, the true nature of the soul, we can never attain. Krishna gives it according to his own sweet will. And Krishna makes it very clear in his own teachings and through his devotees what pleases him, samsidhir hari toshanam, by which he gives this gift of true devotion. This story that we're reading today is a very important lesson. You see, the Yadus, they were somehow or other covered over by the Lord's own arrangement, just to teach a message to the world. When the Lord wants to teach a really important lesson to the world, He often does so through His own devotees. Bhishma is a great Mahajan. Krishna taught through Bhishma's bewilderment that even if you're the most powerful warrior in the universe, if you're not on the side of devotion, if you're associating with envious people who are offending those who are beloved by the Lord, then it's a matter of time till you fail. Duryodhana, along with his father Dhritarashtra, he did rule for many years in all splendor and opulence. It's not that immediately he made an offense to Vidura and he fell down. Rather, Vidura became homeless. Vidura is a great Vaishnav who never offended anyone. He was everyone's well-wisher. And Duryodhana was envious and arrogant, the two worst of all qualities. And here, Duryodhana acted cruel, offensively. And yet he got to sit on the thrones and rule the world without any rivalry for years and years and years. And all those years, Vidura, he had to leave his family barefoot. He just wandered around, homeless. Nobody even knew who he was wherever he went, practically. And the Pandavas were exiled to forest. And somehow or other, watching it all, Bhishma took the side of Duryodhana. Why? Srila Prabhupada explains, because Krishna wanted to teach the world a lesson. That however great and powerful you are, it's not about material considerations. If Krishna's not pleased, if you're not treating great devotees properly, which is what pleases Krishna, then you will not be successful. And here are the Yadus. They were calculating by their covered vision. What was that? Yes, these sadhus, and we see this in the world today too, these sadhus, they're good at doing puja and they're good at, you know, chanting some mantras. But when it comes to material things, which are so important in this world, they don't really know much about how to do that. But we know how to do it. We're managers, we're organizers, we're kshatriyas. We know how to rule. And who's better at all that than the Yadu dynasty? So they, through the lens of that, they were thinking, the great sages, yes, they're goofed for what they're doing, but they're really useless when it comes to material things. And it's true, even in the world today, sometimes householders, they think these sadhus, these brahmacharis or sannyasis or sadhus, they're pretty useless. They don't really know how to do what we can do. But then again, there's other stories like Durvasa Muni. He was thinking the opposite. He was thinking, look at this Ambarish Maharaj. He doesn't know what I am and what I can do. He doesn't respect me properly. He should be destroyed. So either way, whether we're proud of the body of human society, everyone's supposed to be respecting and appreciating what others have. We're not comparing each other in an egoistic or competitive way. Srila Prabhupada's beautiful analogy, it's not that the arms are competing with the legs or the brain is competing with the heart. They all understand that they need each other. They're inseparable. And the arms will do anything to help the legs, and the legs will do anything to help the arms, and the heart will do everything to give blood to the brain, and the brain will do everything to help the heart. That's a healthy body. And similarly, the various divisions of human society should be in that spirit. So the Yadus, they wanted to make fun of these sages. So in today's verse, they dress Sambha. They dress him up as a very pretty lady, pretty young lady. And they put something under his clothing, sari, or whatever it may have been, to make him look pregnant. And understand, the Yadus are expert at what they do. You know, in our dramas at that Birla auditorium that we have every year, whenever we have a brahmachari or a grihastha dress up as a lady, they look pretty ridiculous. You're laughing because you agree with me, I'm sure. But when the Yadus dressed Sambha up as a lady, she must have been really convincing. A pregnant lady. And everything about this story is so instructive. The whole psychology of how pride can affect us. The Yadu Kumaras, they fell at the feet of the great sages. They took the dust from the feet of the great sages. They were offering respect externally, but in their hearts they weren't really offering respect. In their hearts, they had a motivation to achieve, which was to kind of show that these great sages aren't really, they're pretty useless materially. So it describes in this verse and in this purport how it was a false sense of humility. Well, what is humility? Humility is not what the world sees. Humility is what Krishna sees in your heart. That's the type of humility that attracts Krishna. Tatikshava Kuruna Kasura Dasaravade. Going back to Prahlad, he was really humble. He had no false ego. Therefore, he could tolerate. And the prominent feature of tolerance is forgiveness. He was kind, merciful to everyone. And he saw everyone as his friend. He could see no one as his enemy. He was always peaceful. He understood the scriptures, both in the concept and in the spirit. He was genuine. He was little boy. The otters are young men. And they ask the sages, will he give birth? Will she give birth? See, I make that mistake. But they were meticulous. They didn't make that mistake. Will this young girl, she wants to know whether her child will be a boy or a girl, but she's too shy to ask you. I guess because if Samba tried to disguise his voice to be a girl, it may have not sounded right. So he didn't have to say anything. They said, she's too shy to ask you, but she wants to know. Will it be boy or girl? And they were just waiting for the answer. Because there's only two ways to answer. Boy or girl. And either one would be wrong. And if they said, well, actually, we don't know, then that, you know, in those days, that would be a serious subject. In these days, it would just be honest. But they were supposed to know in those days. So Narada, Vishwamitra, Durvasa, Vasishta, they understood. They didn't actually curse in the sense of a curse the way we think of it in this world. Great sages, when they curse, it's for everyone's well-being. You know, just previously, when Krishna was living in Vrindavan, there was Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, who the same Narada who was leading these sages. Same kind of situation. Nala Kuvera and Manigriva were living in heavenly planets. They were the sons of Kuvera, the treasure of the demigods. They had such beauty, such intelligence, such skill, such a high birth. Everything was there. But they were proud. And in their pride, same situation. It's repeated continuously in the scriptures. In that pride, there becomes envy. And in that pride and envy, we become disrespectful. And we really think we have a right to be disrespectful. This is really a very deep, profound aspect of material disease. We think we have the right. The false ego, I can offend and I have the right. I can be disrespectful and I have the right. And actually, believing that. So Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, they disrespected Narada just by playing with young girls naked in the waters. And the girls, they were, Narada Muni's come. So they ran out of the water and they dressed themselves. But Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, who? Why should we do that? So what? We are demigods. Due to their false pride. Narada Muni, out of love and compassion, Surada Sarvadehinam, he's the friend and well-wishing person to everyone. He has no enemies. He's everyone's well-wisher. His curse was the greatest blessing they ever received. But it took some time for them to understand it. He cursed them to be trees. For a long, long time. From demigods flying around in their latest model flower airplanes, going anywhere they want. They were in a beautiful place at the time, at the peak of enjoyment. Handsome, famous, wealthy, intoxicated. And suddenly they're cursed to be trees. In one sense, it's worse than death. Why is it worse than death? Because everyone has to die, but the soul's eternal. There's no such thing as death for the soul. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire. It's just the body that has to inevitably die. But to live for thousands of celestial years in the body of a tree, where you can't move, if you see trees, they're, because of their very low level of conscious awareness, it's not so disturbing to them when insects are eating at you and birds are eating at you and it's cold and it's hot. You know, some of you I see, you know, you have a scratch, you go like this. Well, when a tree has an itch, what can it do? Just stands there. But you see, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, they had the full consciousness of demigods in the body of trees. But ultimately, when they became truly humble, after they didn't understand it was a blessing for many years. But because Narada Muni gave them that blessed curse, in due course of time, they got to associate with Krishna. In due course of time, they really understood this was the highest blessing in their life. So the same Narada Muni is about to give a curse, which means he's about to give a blessing. And he says, oh, you want to know if it's going to be a boy or a girl? It will be a lump of iron that will be the cause of the destruction of your entire dynasty. It was like a thunderbolt, his words. And then immediately, out from Samba came a big lump of iron. And the sages left. They did their service. Now these Yadu Kumaras, they're really upset. This was not supposed to be like this. They were thinking it would be just a good time, just to play around with sadhus, and to have a good laugh. But this is now serious. So they ran to King Ugrasena. This is going to be the destruction of our dynasty. And the way the world is what your destiny is. You can't always change it. What's meant to be. They were expert. They tried their level best. They ground that piece of iron into a fine powder. Now, what can fine powder do? Nothing. Then they threw that powder in the ocean. And there was just one little piece of the iron that didn't grind down. It's a small piece, like a little stone. They threw that in the ocean. A fish ate it. A fisherman caught the fish. Put that piece of stone aside. A hunter came and made it into an arrow. And meanwhile, the fine powder was washed to the shore. And each little tiny piece of powder became a stick, a very hard iron-like stick. And I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen next, because in future classes it will be revealed. Krishna, when he wants to... Well, before saying that... Okay, I'll say it. Krishna will take any situation and make it into a life-changing lesson for the whole world, for those who want to hear. What an incredible lesson. The lesson is how dear devotees are to Krishna. Janmaishwarya Shruti Shribya Edamanamada Puman Narvarhaki Vadatum Vaitvam Akinchina Gocharam. Queen Kunti prayed, the greatest disqualifications for the highest liberation of attaining Krishna are too much knowledge, too much wealth, too much beauty, having a very high, prestigious position in society or high birth, because they make one proud. Krishna is the exclusive property of Akinchana Gocharam, those who are impoverished. But Ambarish was not in material poverty. He was a king. And Yudhisthira Maharaj, he was in poverty in the forest, but then he was made the king. So there are so many great examples of Akinchana Gocharam, of people who had vast wealth and knowledge and beauty and high birth. Akinchana Gocharam means to recognize the truth that nothing is mine. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarva lokamaheshwaram surata sarva dehinam ajatas, that everything is Krishna's property. Therefore, everything is meant to be utilized in his service for his enjoyment. And this is a very happy disposition of the mind when we understand Surata Saravadehinam, that he's the best, most intimate, loving, well-wishing friend of all. He's within our heart as our dearmost friend. When we have this faith that Krishna is our best friend, then it's the most happy experience in life to recognize everything belongs to him. My intelligence, my abilities, my wealth, my influence, everything is Krishna's. When we recognize Krishna as our best friend, then our only true happiness is to make him happy. But we can't recognize Krishna's love unless Krishna reveals it to us. It's always there. There's something that happens when we make aparads to devotees. Let's take another example of Narada Muni. He gave teachings to two generations, or not two generations, but to Daksha's sons, two different sets of his sons. And by Narada Muni's influence, they all became renunciates. Daksha, the first time, Daksha's a very powerful person, extremely learned, extremely handsome, extremely wealthy, He was born of Lord Brahma. Even the demigods stand up to honor Daksha. But still, he knows that Vaishnava Aparada is not good. So when Narada Muni did to the first set of his sons, he just restrained himself and had another set of sons. But when Narada Muni did the same thing, it was intolerable for him. He couldn't tolerate it. He ran to Narada Muni and cursed him. Daksha cursed Narada Muni. You will never be able to. You're a fraud. You call yourself a sadhu. You're immaturely bringing people to this level of renunciation. You don't know what you're doing. I curse you. You can never stay in one place. So Narada Muni just took that as a blessing, chanted the holy names, and just traveled around, happy. Whatever the situation, whatever the destiny, he just saw. He didn't see whether he's here or there or anywhere. Narayana parasarve nakutashtuna vipyate swarga pavarga narakeshu apitulyate darshana. Lord Shiva, he told us that those who are truly devotees of Narayan, whether they're in heaven or hell makes no difference to them. Their only concern is to serve the Lord, to please the Lord, to love the Lord. But because he offended a Vaishnav, Daksha, he couldn't appreciate Vaishnavs anymore. We should understand this is really the worst fruit of an aparadha. That when we offend Vaishnavas, and what is an offense? An offense doesn't mean accidentally touching a person with your foot. That's a little thing that out of culture. But when we speak or act with envy, or a very condescending type of arrogance, when we try to hurt somebody, that's an offense. When we want to push somebody down because we're envious. Of course, the ego will never think, I'm envious. The ego wants to give justification. Then what happens is Krishna within the heart becomes so unhappy that he doesn't allow us to see and appreciate devotees. So what was in Daksha's case, he offended Narada and Narada didn't fight back. Narada Muni could have counter-cursed like anything. But he just accepted it as Bhagavan's kripa. And played his veena and chanted the holy names of Krishna. But Daksha, he couldn't appreciate devotees. And later on, his own son-in-law, Shiva, Mahadev. Mahadev is Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, the greatest devotee. And he's everyone's well-wisher. He's Ashutosh. He loves everyone, Shiva. And in those days, a son-in-law is a son. His own son, who was his evermost well-wisher, he couldn't appreciate him. All the attributes of Mahadev that great devotees glorify, he just saw them all as false. He was envious. He came into that assembly where the demigods, the sages, the rishis, Bhrigu Muni, They're all assembled and they all stood up for Daksha. The Lord Shiva was in meditation. He was in a state like a samadhi, so he didn't stand up. First of all, being a guna avatar, he's Ishvara. He's the Lord of the whole universe. He's the Lord of all the universes. Why should he stand up? But still, he probably would have if he wasn't in samadhi. But Daksha, he had this envy in his heart. He couldn't tolerate all the glory that Shiva was getting. And it's interesting, because materially Shiva was in an inferior position. He was the son, I'm the father. So there was this ego. And that ego became envy. So he literally, from the core of his heart, he could not appreciate Shankar's good qualities. He could not, he was totally covered over. It's plain to see who Shiva is. But because he made aparad, he was covered over. It's the result of offense. We find the same situation, and ultimately, because of that offense to Shiva, everything went wrong. Devastation. So much destruction. And ultimately, Lord Shiva being so kind, even though he offended him so bad because he couldn't recognize or appreciate him, Lord Shiva gave him the head of a goat because his head was already cut off. And his head, I think, was thrown in the fire, so there was no head anymore. So he gave him a head of a goat. Daksha, he wasn't so proud anymore. You know, if he gave him the head of a lion, he might be. But goats are quite underrated animals, to say the least. But in his humble state, everything became clear to him again. And he didn't mind having a goat head. Daksha was happy. He saw it all as a blessing because he was sobered. He was able to appreciate Shankar Bhagavan's greatness and his good qualities. Similarly, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find Ramchandra Puri. He was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. He was a great scholar. He was a sannyasi, very austere. But somehow or other, because of his false ego, his ahankar, he was thinking he knew better than his guru. And Madhavendra Puri appeared to be in an extremely vulnerable state. He was on his deathbed. Ishwara Puri was massaging him. Ishwara Puri was cleaning his urine and stool with his own hands. So he was in such an apparently materially helpless condition. And he was crying, "Where is Krishna? I have not attained the Lord of Mathura. Where are you? What will become of me?" And Ramchandra Puri, he thought he knew better. And he told him, "Well, why are you crying? Just meditate on Brahman." You see, Madhavendra Puri did not react just according to his words. He reacted to the attitude. This attitude of false pride. He couldn't appreciate the highest level of a Paramahamsa. So Madhavendra Puri, ultimately he blessed him with a curse. His curse was very simple. He said, get your face out of here. I don't want to ever see you again. I'm crying in separation from Krishna, and you're telling me to just meditate on the impersonal Brahman? Out from here. But because he displeased a great Vaishnav, what was the reaction? He didn't have a goat head or anything. The reaction was he couldn't appreciate devotees anymore. To appreciate saintly people is really truly a blessing of the Lord. To not be able to appreciate saintly people is really a curse. Arache Vishnu Shila Dira Gurushu Naramadira Vaishnavija Bhuti. One who considers the deity to be stone or wood, or one who considers a devotee to be just an ordinary person, it's hellish mentality. Naraka Bhuti. So Ramachandra Puri, this was his state. He just saw faults in devotees. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I see faults in others because I'm honeycombed with faults myself. The sign that we're great devotees, the sign that we're in the right track, is we see the good in others. Even if we see the faults, we see the goodness and we try to uplift people beyond the faults. We don't try to push people down because of the faults. So Ramchandra Puri was finding faults in all the devotees. This was a very awkward situation. Here's Madhavendra Puri's direct disciple, a sannyasi who comes to Puri, and he was finding faults with everybody. And it became such a chronic disease that he found only faults in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He eats too much. He's a pretender. He's false. And he was envious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was obviously being worshipped and honored and glorified by all the devotees so much. He didn't see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He didn't see him as the Lord of the heart of every living being. He saw him as a junior. He's a disciple of my God brother. Who's he to get all this recognition? He eats too much. In this way, the fruit of his offense was he couldn't appreciate other Vaishnavas. And in this particular purport, we read, and I will end by telling this story. In this purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, the comparison is being made to the Yadu Kumaras being cursed by the great sages because of their lack of respect, because of pride. To Sachi Mata, the mother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This story has incredible essential instruction for everyone in the path of true devotion. It reveals to us how great souls appreciate the qualities of other devotees. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, This whole story begins with Vrindavan Das Thakur explaining that there is no possible way for anyone to gain love for Krishna unless one receives the mercy of saintly Vaishnavas. This is the core and the heart of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the core and the heart of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's the core and the heart of Sanatana Dharma. Krishna gives himself when we give pleasure to saintly persons and receive their blessings. And then he tells the story. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just chastised Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit was world-class reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was the most erudite, fascinating, and popular reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam in the whole of Navadvipa. And Navadvipa was the highest place of learning and scholarship in the entire world. So to be the foremost narrator of Srimad Bhagavatam in Navadvipa is a very, very prestigious role. He had such great scholars as his students. But he didn't have respect and honor for true Vaishnavas. And therefore he didn't really have any love for Krishna. Because unless you please and get the blessings of pure Vaishnavas, no matter what a scholar you are, no matter what sacrifices, no matter what anything, you can't understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna reveals it. Yaya tamam prabhatyante tamstataiva bhajamya. Krishna reveals according to how we surrender, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna sudhamo pagate dharma jnanidi bisaha. In this age of Kali, Krishna has incarnated as the Srimad Bhagavatam. Kali kale namarupe Krishna avatar. Krishna has descended in his holy names. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that even if we chant japa limitlessly, even if we do great, great austerities and acquire incredible knowledge, unless we get the mercy of saintly Vaishnavas, Krishna never gives himself to us. We can never get Krishna praying, love for Krishna. So Devananda Pandit, he was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam eloquently, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he understood that with all of his scholarship, he could, sometime before, he did not appreciate Srivas Thakur. He just treated him like an ordinary person. And he let his disciples, his students, make an offense to Srivas. By pleasing Srivas, he would have gotten more benefit than anything else he ever did in his life. But he couldn't appreciate Srivas. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's Vedaishta Sarveraham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Krit Veda Vedeva Chaham, who's the very to please Lord Chaitanya is the very purpose of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, of all the Vedic literatures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blasted angrily against Devananda Pandit, very loudly. Devananda Pandit could hear it. He was calling him a pretender. You don't know anything. You have no right to be speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. I will go and tear your book to pieces. Devananda Pandit, he was a Brahmin. He was a very cultured person. He felt deep pain in his heart. Why Nimai is talking like this about me? Nimai left. Lord Chaitanya wanted to give an example. We have to approach in a service attitude with devotion, and that especially means how we treat Vaishnavas. And later on, I'm skipping ahead, later on, when Devananda Pandit appreciated the greatness of Vakreshwar Pandit and from his heart sincerely rendered service for him, then everything changed. Just by doing that, he could understand who Lord Chaitanya was. He could understand what the path of bhakti was. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, later on, he welcomed Devananda Pandit. He said, because you have recognized and appreciated Vakreshwar Pandit and served him sincerely, with real humility, I give you Krishna Prema. So in the interim, as Lord Chaitanya was, after just chastising Devananda Pandit in their previous encounter, Lord Chaitanya came to the house of Srivas. And Vrindavan Das Thakur gives this statement. When we please the Vaishnavas, when we get the mercy of true Vaishnavas, then only does Krishna give love for him. And when we offend Vaishnavas, Krishna withholds. Then Vrindavan Das Thakur declares that he's going to tell a very, very powerful story. And anyone who hears with a humble heart this story, all their offenses to Vaishnavas could be nullified. So I suggest you listen very carefully. Even I'm going to be listening very carefully. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the house of Srivas, one of those rare occasions. Usually he would have kirtan with devotees. He would be chanting and would be dancing, and he was always in the mood of Gopi Bharatur Kabata Kamalaya Das Das Anudas, servant of the servant of the servant. If anyone would call him Vishnu, he would block his ears with both of his hands and he would cry out, Vishnu, Vishnu, don't ever say that the jiva can ever be Paratma. We are all completely dependent on the mercy of Krishna. We are all the eternal servants of Krishna. We are all infinitesimal parts and parcels of Krishna. It's that consciousness only that opens our hearts to awaken love for Krishna. The ultimate liberation. And he would always be seeking to take dust from the feet of the devotees. And he would always be seeking to do menial services for devotees. Sometimes he would, if the devotees were carrying something heavy, he would take it and carry it home for them. Sometimes he would see in the Ganges devotees washing their clothes. He would take the clothes and wash it for them. This was his example. But on this rare occasion, he sat on the throne of Vishnu and took the Shalagram Shilas that are none different from himself and placed, because they were on the throne. He lifted them up, sat on the throne, and put the Shalagram Shilas on his own lap. And then he said, now everyone, I will give any benediction you desire as they're chanting. And each devotee was coming forward, and the only benedictions they were asking for was Krishna praying for themselves, for for their loved ones, for everyone. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat tells one person, said, "My father is a very sinful person. He's very confused. Please give him Krishna prema. Bring him to the right path." Some were praying for their disciples. Some were praying for their gurus. Some were praying for their sons, their daughters, their wives, for all living beings. They were all just asking benedictions. And Lord Chaitanya was giving Krishna prema to everyone. Because nobody asked for really anything else except directly or indirectly to give people Krishna prema. Because that's the only thing that really has any truth or meaning to a devotee. Everything else is dukkalayam ashashvatam. It's all temporary. It's all sources of misery. Life goes so fast. Like a little flash from our birth to our death, our womb to our tomb. One moment we're conceived, and a few moments later we're being burnt by the fire at the funeral pyre. It's not much difference. But in this human form of life, that little span of time in between, we have the opportunity to liberate our souls. We have the opportunity, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kapunoi, to awaken the love for Krishna, the Krishna Prema within our hearts. It's the highest reality. It's the only true reality for the soul. So everyone is asking for love for Krishna for themselves so that they could give love for Krishna for others. And they were asking love for Krishna for people who were dear to them, for people who were suffering, for people. Prahlad Maharaj was asking Narasimhadev, "Give love to Krishna for my father." Vasudev Dutt was asking for love for Krishna for every living entity in the entire universe. This was the quality of these devotees. And Lord Chaitanya is, whatever they're asking, he's giving. And it happens. When he gives, they get. So here we have an example of a great devotee. Srivas. He doesn't think about himself, he's thinking about others. Of course, he thinks about himself in such a way that he can be empowered to help others. If we don't think about our own emotional and mental condition, our own physical condition, our own spiritual condition, then what can we do for other people? If we truly see ourselves as instruments of God's grace, then we try to be good instruments, and that means in giving we receive. But for a devotee, in receiving we give. They're inseparable. Tadviti pranipatina pari prashnena sevya. We inquire submissively from Guru, we render service, we humble ourselves. And then when we receive knowledge and we receive the path by which we could realize this knowledge, then our greatest joy is to share that with others. But if we don't have it, what do we share? So here we have all these devotees asking for blessings for others and for themselves so that they can better serve others. Srivas Thakur, such a great devotee. Previously we read about so many people who offended Srivas. Devananda Pandit offended Srivas. Gopal Chapala offended Srivas. And Srivas was always a well-wisher. He was always praying for their benefit.
He was always praying for Krishna to be merciful, even the people who hated him and tried to destroy him. And it's very interesting in this story. Pancha tatvat makam krishnam bhakta rupa swarupakam bhakta avatara tava bhaktakyam namami bhakta shaktakam. The pancha tatva are different features of the one supreme truth. And Srivas, he represents the bhakta, the devotee. He represents all of us.
Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram.
Advaita Prabhu is Mahavishnu, Sadashiva. Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani. Srivas is Narada Muni. He represents a devotee. He represents, his example is what we are supposed to be following in the footsteps for.
So when it comes to Srivas's turn to ask for a benediction, Srivas says, please give Krishna Prem to your mother, Sachi Devi. That was his deepest desire in his heart. During Mahaprakash, Lord Chaitanya neglected Mukunda. And all the devotees, although they all got all their best benedictions of Krishna Prem for themselves, their families, and for everybody they knew, they all got those benedictions. They were all dancing in ecstasy, seeing the beautiful form of Lord Gauranga accepting their loving offerings. But they were all so sad, because Mukunda Dutt was being neglected. So Srivas was crying. Please give your blessings to Mukunda. Let him come and see you. So that's the nature of Narada Muni. He's thinking how to benefit others. That's the nature of Srivas. So of all the benedictions he could have asked for, he said, please give Krishna Prem to your mother, Sachi Devi. So this is one of the most important lessons. How Srivas could appreciate so deeply and be such an incredible well-wisher for others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I cannot do that. It is not within my control. My mother cannot attain love for Krishna. Srivas was shocked. He said, your own mother? What are you saying? Lord Chaitanya said, she has offended a devotee. Srivas was weeping. His heart was totally broken. He said, my Lord, please don't speak like this. I cannot maintain my life if you speak like this. It's so painful. I cannot live. She's your mother. She's the universal mother of all living beings. You, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you appeared in this world from her womb. She's loved you. She's cared for you selflessly throughout your life. How could you say such a thing? If she made an offense, then please correct her offense. How could a mother offend? How could a child consider the offense of his own mother? Lord Chaitanya said, it is not within my power. Just like you know the story of Durvasa Muni, he offended Ambarish. He went to Brahma. He went to Shiva. He went to Lord Vishnu himself. Nobody could save him. It was only Ambarish that could save him. My mother offended Advaita Prabhu. If with a sincere heart she gets forgiveness and takes the dust of Advaita Prabhu's lotus feet upon her head, then she will get love for Krishna. Upon hearing this, the devotees immediately went to Advaita. And they said, Mother Sachi, she can't get Krishna Prem. She's completely brokenhearted. Somehow or other, she made an aparad to you. And unless you forgive her and give her the dust of your feet, she can never get Krishna Prem. As soon as Advaita heard this, they went to get him and brought him before Lord Chaitanya and told him these things. He was saying, what are you trying to do to me? My heart, my head, my life will be cracked open if I put the dust of my feet on Sachi Mata's head. Impossible. Sachi Mata is she's the mother of the Lord of my life, Sri Vishwambar. She's the mother of all living beings, the universal mother. She's supremely worshipable to me. Sachi Mata she's Ganga Devi. Sachi Mata is Devaki. Sachi Mata is Yashoda. As he was glorifying Sachi Mata with so much love, with so much incredible devotion, just thinking of her qualities overwhelmed his heart in such an extent that he went into total ecstasy and fell unconscious on the floor. At that moment, Sachi Mata understood the situation and she took the opportunity. Because there was no way he would put the dust of his feet on Sachi Mata's head. So while he was in his state of total ecstatic samadhi, conquered by the qualities of Sachi Mata, she secretly went behind and placed her head at Advaitacharya's feet and took the dust from his feet. Advaitacharya, he fell unconscious thinking of the glories of Sachi Devi. And Sachi Devi, upon taking the dust of the feet of Advaita, she was appreciating his glories to such an extent that she, in ecstasy, fell unconscious. So they're both laying on the floor unconscious. And Nima is sitting on the throne of Vishnu, looking down upon them, very happy. And he awakens both of them, and he declares to everyone that at this very moment, because Sachi Mata has been forgiven by Advaitacharya, because she has taken that humble role to serve by taking the dust of his feet, on this moment I give her forever Krishna Prem. And when he said that, all the devotees, millions of times greater than if he gave Krishna Prem to them, of course he already did, but they were limitlessly even more happy to see Sachi Mata happy. They all cried out very loudly, Hari Hari.
Hari Hari!
Now Vrindavan Das Thakur explained, Sachi Mata never made any offense. How could Sachi Mata make an offense to anyone? But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a little situation just to show to the world that even if you're the mother of the universe, either if you're the mother of God, even if you're the son of Krishna, Samba's a son of Krishna, Sachimata is the mother of Krishna. Whatever our role, no one's exempt. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, he gives this explanation. We should not think in terms of this is a big Vaishnav and this is a little Vaishnav. This is a counselor. This is a counselee. This is a senior Vaishnav. This is a junior Vaishnav. This is a scholar. This is this person who doesn't really know much. They just like to clean. We were speaking recently about that simple Bengali widow who was just illiterate, bringing water to Radha Damodar every day, and how Srila Prabhupada was so moved by her devotion, and how Yamuna Devi considered this old Bengali widow like a Shiksha Guru. Yamuna Devi was incredibly learned, incredibly talented, incredibly empowered as a singer, as a cook, as a Vaishnavi in every way. She was one of the foremost leaders of our movement worldwide. And here's this Bengali widow who does illiterate. Her head is practically where her waist is because she's all bent down. She wasn't physically beautiful. She wasn't physically healthy. She wasn't learned. And no, she definitely wasn't famous. Nobody even knew she existed except Radha Damodar and Prabhupada. But Prabhupada would use her as an example, and Yamuna went to learn from her what it means to be a devotee. So big devotee, small devotee. Rich devotee, poor devotee. Krishna sees the quality of our love. He sees the quality of our intent. He sees the quality of our Vaishnav character. So big devotee, small devotee. I'm husband, you're my wife. It's not like this. This is my guru, that's your guru. This tendency, Vrindavan Das Thakur is explaining, of trying to see just material differences and trying to calculate the devotees on that basis. Big devotee, small devotee. This beautiful story, even Sachimata, such an example. She didn't make any offense. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach through her so that any of us who are thinking that because of my qualifications, because of my role, whether you're a guru or a president or a scholar or a famous person, whoever we may be, we can't be disrespectful to others because it's going to come on us just like anyone else, big or small, even Sachi. So what was that apparent offense? When we hear what her offense is, it only increases our love and respect for her. But still, Lord Chaitanya used her as an example for us, so that we know we're not exempt. Vishwarup, who is an expansion of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, was Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra's son. They had so many miscarriages, one after another. And when a mother has so many miscarriages, I believe it was 8 miscarriages, that when finally she was offering so many prayers to Krishna, Jagannath Mishra, Sachimata, they were doing pujas, they were doing praying, because Krishna in their heart was instilling this longing to be a mother and father, because he wanted to be their child. So finally, they had a child. He was so beautiful. He was so respectful, so gentle. Everyone loved Vishwarup. He was so learned too. He was the embodiment of all good qualities. But somehow or other, with his devotion, he saw in Navadvip it was such a materialistic place. And it was a very successful place. There was a tremendous amount of wealth and knowledge. It was a very prestigious place. And he just saw everyone was intoxicated by material things, and therefore they weren't paying attention to real love for Krishna. And people didn't care. He was trying to present these ideas, but everyone was so intoxicated by the distractions of their fame, their prestige, their knowledge, their wealth, whatever it may be, that nobody cared. Then he came in the association of Advaita Prabhu. And Advaita Acharya was such a Vaishnav. At one time when Vishwarupa Prabhu was going to him, Advaita Prabhu was giving lectures on the Yoga Vasishta, which is generally a favorite book for monists and impersonalists. But Sri Advaita, he saw Krishna everywhere. He was speaking eloquently on the Yoga Vasishta, proving that every word of every line of every sloka was just glorifying pure devotional service to Krishna. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, "For one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for that person I'm never lost, nor am I never lost to me." He was Saragrahi. He was seeking the essence. And therefore he was seeing in every situation Krishna. Teachings how to love Krishna. Vishwarup just loved to be with Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya was like his grandfather in age. And Sri Advaita Acharya loved Vishwarup. He had so much devotion. He had so much humility. He was such a respect. His character was all attractive. Vishwarup would spend hours and hours and hours a day just in Advaita Acharya's company, Hari Kirtan, Hari Katha, seeing Advaita Acharya performing his puja, Madan Gopal. And he hardly came home. At noontime, Sachimata one day, she told Nimai that please go and tell Vishwarup, your brother, that he should come home. Lunch is ready. So little Nimai was a child. He came running to Sri Advaita Prabhu's house. And when he came to the door, all the Vaishnavas headed by Advaita, they were immersed in Hari Katha. But when little Nimai came, his beautiful lotus-like eyes and his smiling face, his golden complexion, his limbs covered with dust from playing, he said, "My brother, mother is calling you home. Lunch is waiting for you." And he took the dhoti, that cloth of Vishwarupa, and pulled it. Advaita looked at this Nimai. He had seen Nimai so many times before, but Nimai never revealed himself like this. All the devotees, they were so completely conquered by the sweetness of the beauty of Nimai, they couldn't even talk about Krishna anymore. The Hari Katha came to a ceasing. They couldn't even blink their eyes anymore. They just stood and looked at him. And little Nimai kept talking to Vishwarupa, "Please come, mother is waiting, mother, Mata is waiting." And then they both ran home. Meanwhile, Advaita Prabhu just kept, he was in a state of ecstatic samadhi, just looking at little Nimai. He was thinking, the same ecstasy as seeing Krishna, I'm feeling seeing this little boy. Is he Krishna? Every day, Nimai would come to bring Vishwarupa home. And every day, the same situation. They all fell in love with Nimai. Although they, by Nimai's own yogamaya potency, they could not recognize who he truly was, Krishna. But after some time, Vishwarupa, without saying anything to anyone, he left home, took sannyas, assumed the name Shankar Aranya, never to come home again. Sati Mata, who loved her child so much, her firstborn child after so many miscarriages, her heart was broken, grieving. There was practically no solace for her. It's ecstatic love and separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Her heart was so vulnerable, so soft, so loving. But she knew she would never ever see him again. And he was so young. She was thinking at that time that he was so happy at home until he came in contact with Advaita. Because of Advaita's association, he's lost all interest in anything of this world. And he's left me to take sannyas. But she understood the consequence of Vaishnava Parad. So she did not say a single word to anyone. She just kept it in her heart. She grieved and she grieved. But after some time, Nimai's playfulness, Nimai's beauty, Nimai's love pacified her heart. She only lived for Nimai. At one time, Jagannath Mishra, he was thinking that our son Vishwarupa, he left home because of associating of all these devotees and all those great scholarship. If our Nimai learns the scriptures, then he's also going to leave home, so he should not study anymore. That lasted for some time. And Jagannath Mishra, already having grieved so much the disappearance of Vishwaroop, he had a dream where Nimai was a sannyasi, with tens and thousands of people following him, and everyone was being induced by the Lord to chant the holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
He told the dream to Sachimata, "I fear our Nimai is going to leave us too." And Sachimata said, no, Nimai, he's so attached to us, and he's so attached to the home, and he so much loves his studies, he will not leave us. And just the thought that he would leave, Jagannath Mishra left his body. He gave up his life. He couldn't even imagine, just the thought of going through that again, he couldn't. He just had a fever and left. And Nimai was at his feet crying as he was leaving. He was right there, but the imminent possibility of separation was, he was unable to live through it. But Sachimata was now alone. Her husband was gone. Her eldest son was gone. All she had was Nimai. She lived only for Nimai. She breathed only for Nimai. Nimai was married. But after the years went by, Sachimata noticed after Nimai went to Gaya and took Diksha from Ishwarapuri, he was spending most of his time at Adwaita's house. And when he was in Srivasangam, Adwaita was always there. He was practically in constant association with Adwaita. And he was so much involved in Hari Kirtan and Hari Katha, he was hardly coming home. And this was moving Sachimata's heart so deeply that one day there was no one around except the Paramatma. But in her total motherly loving desperation, she called out, "The whole world knows you as Adwaita, but to me you are Dwaita." Adwaita means you are bringing oneness, you are bringing harmony. But instead of that, you are dividing. Adwaita has already taken away from me my son, Vishwaroop. And now, he's taking away the only reason I live, my Nimai. He's taking him away from me. The world calls him Adwaita, but I call him Dwaitaya. One who's full of duplicity. I'm a widow. I'm helpless. I have nothing. I have no one except Nimai. My husband is gone. My eldest son is gone. And now, Adwaita, you are influencing my other son to leave me. She was weeping, she was crying.
She wasn't talking to anyone. It was just an expression of her pure, ecstatic, motherly love. That was not an offense. That was the highest level of love and separation. Only Lord Gauranga in her heart heard what she said. But he took that opportunity to show all the world that we all must have the character of a true Vaishnava, which especially is to appreciate and to respect and to uplift others. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that Sachi Mata, anyone who even says her name, everyone who even hears her name, in Bengali, Ai is a word for mother, I assume. Anyone who even hears the word mother and remembers Sachi Mata will be so blessed. That is the power of her love. That is the power of her compassion. And then it did happen that Lord Chaitanya did take sannyas. And Sachi Mata, she prayed to the Lord to stay home. How she prayed. You have come to this world to teach true religious principles. Are you going to teach the world that true religious principles means to kill your own mother? Because if you leave, I will die. I cannot live. I have nothing. I have no one except you. Lord Chaitanya consoled her. Nothing can ever separate us. Previously, you were Prishni and I was your son, Prishnigarbha. You were Devahuti, I was your son, Kapila. You were Aditi, I was your son, Vamana. You were Kausalya, I was Ram. You were Devaki, I was Krishna. You were Yashoda, I was your Krishna. You are Mother Ganga, who's purifying the whole world. And you have incarnated as the devotee's tongues. And I am born every time they chant my holy names. Nothing can separate us. But it was to show compassion to all living beings that the Lord decided he must leave. And Sachi was waiting at the front. She was waiting at the door of their little home. And before leaving the house forever, he touched his mother's feet and took the dust of her feet. He circumambulated her. And he asked her permission. And ultimately, her only will was to make him happy. So she gave permission, and he left. And Nityananda Prabhu, although the Lord was traveling to Vrindavan in great happiness after taking sannyas in Katwa, Nityananda Prabhu
arranged for the Lord to take a detour to Shantipur. He had Chandrasekhar return to Navadvip to tell Sachi Mata and all the devotees to meet them at Advaita Bhavan in Shantipur. And there Sachi Mata saw Lord Chaitanya. He was no longer Nimai. He was now Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his sannyas name. No longer was that beautiful hair circling his moon-like face. No longer was his beautiful cloth and garlands. Now he had a shaved head and the drab cloth of a sannyasi. He was now homeless. All he had was a danda and a begging pot. She was weeping. She was crying. It was unbearable. Something like when the gopis and Yashoda Mai saw Krishna in Kurukshetra. He wasn't a cowherd boy anymore. He was now a great prince of a Kshatriya dynasty with 16,108 queens. He had crowns, he had armor. He was amidst elephants and chariots and horses and soldiers and queens. He was Dwarkadish. They were seeing him, but they were crying, "Please come back to Vrindavan. We want to see you as a gopa, because we know that's where you're most happy." Sachi Mata was now seeing her Nimai as a sannyasi. And Lord Chaitanya took sannyas for the same reason that Krishna left Vrindavan. He left to rid the world of the great burden of the demons. That's why Krishna left Vrindavan, for Mathura and Dwarka. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvip and his comfortable, loving home, Vishnupriya, Sachi Devi, Srivasangam, Ganga, to relieve the demoniac mentality of the world. His weapons were his associates, compassion, and Krishna's holy names. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Sachi Mata's condition, she couldn't even really see him anymore because her eyes were flooding with tears. Lord Chaitanya bowed down to her feet. And although he was the crest jewel of all sannyasis, Sachi Mata picked him up and put Lord Chaitanya on her lap. She embraced him. Lord Chaitanya, he had made the lions and the tigers ecstatic Vaishnavas in Charikanda. He made Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya Prakashananda, the greatest philosophers of other schools, he made them into pure devotees of the Lord. Chankazi, who had massive armies, he defeated him with his sankirtan and his beauty. Even the Nawab Husain Shah, when Lord Chaitanya went to Ramkeli, he completely conquered everything. Hundreds and thousands of people became his devotees there. for he was conquered by the love of his mother. I'm yours. I had no right to take sannyas. I was crazy. Somehow or other, I went crazy. I left you, my mother. You have given me my life. You've protected me. You've given me all my love. Whatever devotion I have is only because of you. And I broke your heart. Now I'll do anything you say. I'm yours. He would have gone home and lived with her. But Satyamata's selfless, loving service, it was not about her. His mission was to give Krishna consciousness to the world. She did not want to stand in the way. She said, you must go, and you must do your wish, your mission. But if you go to Vrindavan, I'll never know what you're doing. If you go to Puri, I'll get Jagannath Puri. I'll get regular news about you, and that will keep me alive. And I'll be able to send you prasad sometime. The same Krishna that lives in Vrindavan is in Puri is Jagannath. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made that decision for the rest of his pastimes in this world. He made his home base Jagannath Puri. He told Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, you should go to Vrindavan because my mother doesn't want me to go. You should go on my behalf. Such a mother, such a son, such love, the source of all love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nome Krishna Swarupam. He's Krishna who wants to taste the sweetness of Radha's love and distribute that love to the world. But to receive that love, it's not just a sentimental, automatic thing. We must understand the teachings that he emphasizes so much if we want to receive that love. And in relationship to these beautiful stories, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, he was just wrapping up his lila. And he wanted all the Yadu dynasty to go back home, back to Godhead with him. And he could have done it in any way. He moved them from Mathura to Dwarka in the middle of the night, and it's not that they had to hire all kinds of trucks to bring all their stuff. They just woke up and they were living in palaces in Dwarka. So he could have brought them all back home, back to Godhead like that too. But out of his supreme mercy, he wanted to teach us a very important lesson. Such a graphic lila. And the example given in today's purport is Satyamata. Even her love, which completely conquers the Lord. And what Lord Chaitanya is teaching us, what Krishna is teaching us, is the character of respect. Even if we disagree, it should be with respect. Even if we have to correct someone, it should be to uplift them. No one is our property. Everyone is Krishna's property. And we're all entrusted with the service to perceive, to perceive every situation and every person in such a way that we could be that we could really be of service to them somehow or other. That is character of Vaishnava. It's not that we should just live in fear of offending Vaishnavas. It's that we should understand. If somebody's doing something wrong, it's not that we have to allow it to be. But arrogance and envy are the two principles that destroy our character as Vaishnavas. And we have to be very much on guard. Because as Madhvakta Puja Pyadika, the greatest worship of the Lord is worship of His devotees. Doesn't mean we have to do puja to every Vaishnava we see with flowers and ghee lamps. Means we try to appreciate. We give respect. We don't want to lord it over others. We don't want to offend others. We want to uplift. Because how we treat Vaishnavas is how Krishna receives our service. To chant the holy names, to serve, respect Vaishnavas, and to show compassion to the living beings of this world is the essence of Dharma. Sarva Dharma Sar. Sarva Dharma Sar. The essence of all Dharma, Bhakti Vinod Thakur says. Thank you very much. Just to increase your appetite for breakfast, we will have kirtan for food. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.